you'll please announce counsel?
May it please the court, Mr. Robert Alcorn will argue for the appellee. Mr. Michael Brinkley, we represent the appellant, did not show.
All right, thank you.
May it please the court. I guess I only want to really make an argument today based on a case that was decided out of the Dallas Court of Appeals between the time I submitted my brief and oral arguments today. Mr. Brinkley and I argued a very similar case in front of the Dallas Court of Appeals in the case of Shutter versus Wells Fargo Bank. I don't have a Lexis site for that, but it is it was entered July 21st, 2010, in case number 05-09-00639-CV. In that case, Mr. Brinkley argued for the appellant the same issues as issues numbers 1 and 3 in this case, and the court upheld the decision of the court below in both cases. In issue number one, one thing that's been pervasive that I've seen several times in cases like this, and this is the issue about that the pleading was defective because of a lack of verification. I've never seen a Texas law that says that a verification is required for a petition in a forcible detainer case. There are several rules that allow for a verification, which are Rule 739, 742 of the Rules of Civil Procedure, and 24.0051A of the Texas Property Code. All of those rules discuss getting a citation served and getting default judgment based on the served citation. 742A allows for you to verify a petition by saying that the addresses listed are all that's known of the occupants, and that allows the landlord to get service without having to do the Rule 106 procedure. It's an expedited way to do it, and that's the only reason that that these things are ever verified. There's no requirement that the petition be verified, especially if there's an answer. And I think the rule that the two rules that point that out the best are Rules 93 of the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure, which have the list of verified pleas, and there's no mention of a forcible detainer suit in that list. And Rule 741, which is called Requisites of Complaint, and it requires only that it requires only that the complaint describe the lands that they're seeking to recover, and that it state the facts that entitled to a judgment for a forcible detainer. So I think the Shutter case shed some light on it. I don't think that the Shutter case or the Reagan case cited by Mr. Brinkley really go into whether there is actually a verification required on these complaints. They just say it's not jurisdictional, and I think the case law is clear that it's not a jurisdictional argument. As far as the business record affidavit goes, most of the documents attached to the business record affidavit were certified copies, as the record will show. The only piece of evidence that was not attached as a certified copy were notices to vacate, which Mr. Atmore, the affiant in that affidavit, says that he was an affiliated service provider and that the firm sent the notices to vacate. So all the evidence is there that entitles the appellee to a judgment for forcible detainer. And I would ask that the court affirm the judgment based on the briefs. And if you have any other questions, I will yield the rest of my time to the court.
I don't believe so. But thank you for appearing today. We appreciate your arguments and your briefing today. Your case is submitted and you are excused.
Thank you, Your Honor.